And you never know who's waiting next. Peter Reith, former Defence Minister in the Howard government, has called in on the talk back as well. Peter Reith, good morning to you.
G'day, John. I was listening to the program. I couldn't resist the temptation to respond on the question of whether or not this is different to Nauru. And I was the one who negotiated the arrangements with Nauru, and the contrary to the claims of Julia Gillard and Malcolm Fraser today, basically, it's exactly the same. They're just running another Pacific solution and then having the temerity, the gall to tell the Australian public, oh, this is different somehow. I mean, it's not different at all.
Let's go through some of what is claimed to make it different is that this would be established with some official auspice of the United Nations High Commission for Refugees.
Well, I mean, what they're saying is that you really need that because otherwise Australia wouldn't do the right thing in running such a detention centre. Now, I think that's just a load of nonsense. I mean, sure, they can get a tick for it, but, I mean, does it make it any difference in practice? Of course not. Absolutely none whatsoever. And, look, the real point today, I think, is not only the fact that it's no different, but what is interesting is that this whole thing has never actually been agreed with the East Timorese anyway. It's obviously just some sort of desperate con measure to last the Labor Party until the election. And having negotiated one of these with Nauru, I can tell you it's not an easy thing to negotiate, even though the late Rene Harris was a very good person to deal with. It's quite an issue, and I must say I'm just a bit amazed that Julia Gillard would go public and create the impression that they've got matters in hand. She's got nothing in hand as far as I can tell from what's been said publicly, and there'll be a lot of political contests in East Timor as to whether or not they'll even go along with this.
Well, as we heard early this morning from Jose Teixeira from Fretlin, exactly that point was being made. When you did negotiate the arrangements with Nauru, what incentives were offered to the government of Nauru?
Well, obviously, we had to pick up all the cost of the establishment. And one of the interesting things...
But what else was arranged?
We had difficulties with a requirement for additional facilities at the local hospital. And if my memory serves me right, we put money into that quite willingly. I thought it was a very reasonable proposition from
them. So those were some added sweeteners to bring them to the negotiating table.
I suppose the reason I'm, even on the phone today is that, I mean, for years the Labor Party basically belted people like me around the head for what we did with the Nauru specific solution. And now we find, that basically they were just playing a game, that actually they now actually think this is the way to go. I mean, they're not going to make it happen. But, I mean, talk about the ultimate vindication. They used this politically. They hit us for ages, called us lies, everything under the sun. And now we find, but when they're in government, it's okay. In fact, it's a good idea. They inherited a situation which they criticised for years. They then basically gave the green light for the traffic, for the traffickers again. And now they're reverting to what was... only one aspect of our solution. So,
Peter Reith, one of the issues at the moment is that Tony Abbott, the Liberal leader, is saying that he will try to turn boats around where it's possible. Julia Gillard says that's hollow and impossible. She says they'll scuttle the boats. You famously were involved in allegations of people throwing their children overboard. What do you think would be the best lessons to have learned from all the episodes that we had in the past, including the ones you were intimately involved in?
Well, I can tell you, for example, one lesson to be learned from last time. And that is that when we announced the deal with Nauru, and even after it was signed, sealed and delivered, there were people from Australia who opposed what we were doing, who were ringing Nauru and people in the government in Nauru, trying to dissuade them, from implementing the agreement that they'd just signed with Australia. Now, I think she's been naive in the extreme, and it's only an element of desperation that she should go public without actually having the support of the East Timor government.
What about scuttling boats and your episode of children overboard?
Well, I mean, that was one issue that was blown up completely out of proportion, totally out of proportion.
By whom?
And the reality is, what you've got to do, which is what the Howard government did and which Julia, I think, now starts to appreciate, and that is that you've got to have a policy which says if you try to get to Australia, you won't get there. And that is what eventually happened with the Howard government. And, of course, the Labor Party let that go, and now we've got the problem again. So,
you didn't specifically deal with my question about children overboard and scuttling boats.
Well, because, John, you know, for years I had people like you asking me questions about that. And I've answered all of them, but the fact of the matter is that was all part of a campaign by the Labor Party to attack the Howard government over its policy on this whole question of discouraging people using people smugglers. And yesterday we saw one of the great turnarounds of Australian politics in a proposal, which won't happen anyway because it's unrealistic and they haven't even got the deal done. We took a hell of a lot of political pain over that. And yesterday we saw one of the most extreme cases of vindication I've seen in Australian politics for a long time.
Sounds like you're missing the fray a bit, Peter Reid.
Well, I must say, it is the first time I've been on the radio for many, many years. But it is a quite incredible development, you'd have to say. And from the lady who's the all-time record, you know, waster of public funds, for her to now do a complete backflip and propose spending a lot more money in East Timor for a deal they haven't got, you know, it is a pretty amazing set of circumstances.
You're going to nominate for a pre-selection.
No, my predecessor was Phil Lynch. He was a great bloke, Phil. And he said to me after I lost my I won the seat in the by-election. I lost it 3 months later. He said to me, he said, there's nothing more X than X. Very true, that was.
Peter, it's Paul Ravinch here, and thank you for your insightful comments. The extent to which you talk about this shift in policy for Labor and the extent to which it is quite audacious would be, perhaps one way to look at that would be, would Kevin Rudd have got away with this policy shift?
Well, I think you're being generous saying it's audacious. I mean, this is just an absolute con of the worst order.
But that said, okay, so we say, okay, look at this, there's a big shift that's happened here, there is a new leader, etc. How do you reconcile the fact that you're in charge of the Pacific solution? Aren't you, as a consequence, in favour of the East Timor proposal as well?
Well, I'm in favour of offshore detention arrangements, which is what we had in Nauru. But I'm not in favour of sitting quietly while some Prime Minister tells us that this is in some way different. And, I'd have to say, with great respect for, I think you've been pretty soft on the Labor Party. I mean, there will be a lot of people in the left of the Labor Party who will be absolutely outraged about this.
Oh, yes, we've already had people saying this is the best news for the Greens and Agents.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is another problem, I must say, you know, in the political process, because giving more power to, you know, even more left-wing crowd is not a good idea for the parliamentary system.
It's good to hear you haven't lost your edge, Peter Reid. We've been chasing you for a while when you came back from Europe, and I think you declined my invitation to come on the program. I'm glad that you've been inspired to do so today.
Well, I did persuade Kevin Rudd to get us out of the bank in which I was in London and get our money back, and he publicly agreed to that. And then he decided that it was okay to spend the $90 million on staying in the bank because he wanted to get onto the Security Council. So I'm just hoping that one good thing, that that's a bit of advice if I may for Julia, there is $90 million just sitting there. That bank has done what it was supposed to do, and it didn't cost the Australian taxpayer me being there, but we should get our money back, and I'm sorry we haven't.
All right, and just finally, John Faulkner, current Defence Minister, has announced that he won't continue in the ministry after the next election. You're a former Defence Minister.
I had one contest with John Faulkner, and he wouldn't do anything about the lady who was subject to dreadful harassment on an Australian Navy ship. And we forced him to a public inquiry, which became known as the Ships of Shame. And that's the only... I'm sorry, I can't say anything positive about John, but that was one thing I always thought he didn't do well on that one. And I don't actually think he has been a big power in the Labor Party, that'd be my sense of it. But,
all right, and what are you up to now you're back in town?
Oh, not much, John. I'm sort of, getting back with a few of my mates in the political system and got a little farm out west and growing a few steers, which I really enjoy, and planting a few trees.
And calling it on talkback.
Eh?
And calling it on talkback.
Well, this is the first time. Today is the first time. For many years for me, but
long time listener, first time caller.
Beg your pardon?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, look, the Australian political system, having now watched the political system in the UK and Europe and Eastern Europe in particular, for all the arguments we have, the Australian political system, you know, I tell you, can hold its own with anybody around the world. We run a... It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we have a pretty good political system in Australia, and you get to have your say, and you have programs like yours, which I think are great.
Well, that's very kind of you, and thank you. I'm going all nostalgic now after hearing Malcolm Fraser and Peter Rees talking to Paul Ramage in the media segment today. It's been quite an extraordinary thing. Thank you for your call.
Good on you, John. Thanks very much.
Peter Rees, former Defence Minister, and Malcolm Fraser, former Prime Minister. I've got text messages galore. Quite bizarre. Enough of your Liberal mates. Yeah, right, I've been accused of many things. That's the first time for that one. But, Paul, it's been full of surprises, the segment this morning. We haven't actually heard from other people. So we're way over time. We'll have to put this one down to being unusual talk back with a media representative for unusual times.
And I think it is also an indication when we get a former Prime Minister, a former Defence Minister from the Conservative side of Parliament ringing in and giving us those views that this is a big issue. This is going to play out in weeks ahead to the election.
And they feel very strongly about it. You heard Peter Reith there saying this is vindication for our policies and determined that that message gets out, even if it means he breaks his self-imposed silence to do so. Paul, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Paul Ramage, editor-in-chief of The Age newspaper. I owe a bunch of flowers and a box of chocolates to Kate Draper. She's been sitting, waiting for ages in the newsroom with the headlines. Your call's on the open line afterwards. Kate, good morning and apologies.
Thanks, John.